traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right, here we go in 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, a podcast to promote and improve your practice as an athletic trainer. I am Jeremy Jackson, host of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. My old friend Wayne Smith hit me up with the opportunity to talk about a wetsuit with electricity in it. That's kind of what it looks like if you look at the Neuro 20. So looking at the Neuro 20, that it looks like a wetsuit, like a short leg, short sleeve wetsuit, and then just has electricity and a battery pack hooked up to it. So we're going to find out about it today. Get Wayne. He's going to be sharing some of his role with Neuro 20, but we also have Michael Finkelstein, and he is in charge of research and development, and he's one of the co-founders of the company Neuro 20. So Wayne, welcome back to the Sports Medicine Broadcast.
Thank you.
And Michael, welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast for the first time.
Thanks for having me.
This one will be sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/neuro20, N-E-U-R-O-20, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/neuro20. All right, so let's get right into it. I already mentioned it looks like a wetsuit with electrodes in it. So kind of give me some of the background, the big picture, the origin of Neuro 20.
DJ Schmidt founded this company. Basically, he was injured from his service for our country overseas. And after his injuries, a lifetime of injuries, he needed to find a solution to not take pain medications and get better and still be able to play with his children, right? And be able to walk functionally. And he went around the world looking for different options. He went to original blood flow restriction therapy. And, you know, we were in Japan. He was in Japan and he worked with the original cryo teams. He was looking for something. When he was in Europe, he found EMS, electrical muscle stimulation. But over there, electrical muscle stimulation was a fitness gadget for the most part. It's a get quick fit fitness. It's, you know, lose weight, look better kind of systems. Most of them were handheld. Some of them were wired and, you know, you put on a vest, they spray you down, somebody else gets it on. And he said he felt better. He didn't think it was going to work, but he felt better. And when he started feeling better, he said, wait a minute, there are medical applications here that we're just not tapping. And he used his electrical engineering degree and helped develop the first suit, wearable suit that was wireless, that has 20 pre-placed electrodes in it, large shaped electrodes to your muscle contour, right, to carry for over large amounts of motor points, and then wireless with individual muscle specificity for up to 10 people at a time within 100 meter range. And the suit is made of like a Lycra material. So it's almost like a Lycra spandex. It's like Under Armour compression clothing. So you wear it, the stimulator clips to your hip. It broadcasts the information over Wi-Fi to, the box to an iPad. The operator, the AT, would control the iPad and set up the parameters for the different athletes or the strength and conditioning coach or physical therapist, depending on what you're going for. And, once we created that, we brought in some amazing individuals who said, you don't even know what you have. We're going to take it further. And so Dr. Francis Palermo joined our team. And I don't know if your community knows Dr. Palermo. He's a pretty well-known physiatrist. And he was the co-creator of the OmniStim, which is in a lot of athletic training rooms. He worked on patterned electrical stimulation, localized. And when he saw what we had, we were able to patent whole body patterned electrical stimulation. So basically what we did is we measured through an EMG the firing pattern for particular movements and the timing pattern of how muscles fire within microseconds of one another. And then we replicate that involuntarily through a motor neuron contraction for that specific movement set throughout the whole motor chain that the suit covers, which is unique. That hasn't been done before. So if you're throwing, I mean, think of every muscle involved in that throw and how it fires in a different sequence. We're firing it in that sequence. Same with swinging or jumping or sprinting. It's really interesting, and we're getting some amazing results. So we put that in and we patented it. And now we have a unique offering.
Right. So that's definitely one of the things that we want to get to is we're talking about pattern, EMG,
pattern stim. Yeah.
Yeah. Pattern stim. And it's one of the things that's unique in the fact that it's not just, all right, we'll place the pads anywhere, you know, or okay, well, let's just cover this square. Cause you know, we like to use the Compex or the Mark Pro, for muscle re-education or recovery. And, you know, it's the same general concept, but it's not, you know, unique and specific in the fact that, you know, you can program this one to do this thing in this way. So talk a little bit more just about the patterning. I know you said y'all measured it down to the microsecond, things like that, but tell me just a little bit more about that.
Sure. So like you just said, Compex or Mark Pro, and then Wayne, I'm going to turn pattern over to you. You're an expert in a second, but the Mark Pro, the Compex, these machines, about 131 of those is in one of our suits. To give you an idea of the electrical coverage that we're doing. Okay. You know, we're not a small 2x2 replaceable pad. Our pads are like, you know, it covers the entire quad. It covers the whole hamstring, the glutes, the paraspinals, the abdominum, transverse abdominis, chest, delts, bis, tris, upper paraspinals, right? Like we all the way out to infraspinatus, like we are covering large muscle motor chain areas, right? And we had to prove to the FDA that that's actually a more comfortable experience for the user. Because if you think about it, current density, we're spreading it out over a much larger surface area. And that's more comfortable as an experience for the user, right? You're not sending all the electricity into a small area of the motor neurons. We're capturing a large area. And you're recruiting that muscle now fully compared to before. But what we realized was that within that motor chain, right, within that, there are sequences that you can fire. And we needed to measure the sequences of healthy individuals and how the muscles fire, and then replicate that through a machine for people who are struggling, whether it's from an injury or whether it's motor education from a strength and conditioning side, right, optimization side. So we put programs in place and wrote the programs in so that you can choose as the AT of what modality you're trying to do and what your goal for your athlete is, right? Is it facilitation of human performance? Is it muscle endurance? Is it motor education? Is it blood flow? All of these indications, we have 6 indications of use from the FDA. And we're the medically cleared version of this. We're not the OTC version of this, right? Which is why we're with you. So, those 6 indications of use are really what guides us. And then we have programs to optimize each of those indications. Now, as for pattern stim, can you give a little history there, Wayne? And
you know? Well, I think Jeremy and I have a little bit of history because we've talked about a lot of different scientific effects that come along with modalities in the past. One of the draws to what is considered patterned electrical neuromuscular stimulation, which is where it got its nomenclature for PEMS, prior to that, FES, functional E-stim, may resonate a lot more with the therapy world, as well as Russian stimulation or muscle re-education, where we basically give the muscle a certain level of charge, be it 100 hertz or 50 hertz, to cause an actual contraction, where, again, we can use some level of energy using a Mark Pro or a basic stimulator to cause a contraction. And depending on how you dial it up, can determine whether you're using it for a pain modulation or using it for a contraction or you're using it for spasm reduction. It's basically to cause a reaction to the inflammation that the electrodes or the E-stem is presenting to itself. So when the body gets a on and off, you know, like turning a light switch on and off, basically what you're doing is causing a contraction, then the stim goes away. There's a ramp up and a down, on and off, on and off, off. It basically causes a reaction to that sort of stimulus. For painful modulation, actually, people talk about interferential and you're crisscrossing the electrodes for 2 different generators for pain modulation. All of those different steps of how the E-stem is being used in our market today are all based on the type of stimulators that are available. Where Dr. Palermo, who's a physiatrist, one of the things that he noticed, especially when you're dealing with inhibition following an injury or following surgery of some level, and the nerve and everything has been changed, one of the things that got the ability for an athlete to come back was to fire neurologically what that movement pattern may have been originally. So he actually did a bunch of EMG, and we did some photo analysis of specific movements, running, jumping, skipping, throwing, and he captured it off of elite athletes at some level. And then we put it on an oscilloscope, and we basically watched how the pattern was moving. We noticed that the agonist antagonist movements were being done in microseconds versus on for 3 seconds, off for 3 seconds, or whatever the parameter was set up for an on and off response. We actually saw it firing in 70 milliseconds or 120 milliseconds based on how quick the muscle function actually took place. So in the early days, as athletes were incapacitated or they weren't weight-bearing or they weren't able to use their shoulder and they were an elite athlete, part of the rehabilitation side of it is we're working maybe in the acute phase. The muscle wasn't getting the right input during the rehab side. So what people were doing is as they were treating, let's say, a grade 2 ankle sprain, and they're doing ultrasound or using interferential or whatever modulation that they were, whatever inclusion of a modality in the course of the rehab, what was going on with the athlete based on his functionality, whether he was a running back or a receiver or a skater or whatever, he wasn't functioning at the athletic ability. So once we as athletic trainers got them back to doing something weight bearing, then we had to slowly introduce what they were sports specific movement that they were involved with. And then we'll take them back out on the grass. We did soft toss for baseball. We had them doing different, you know, again, it doesn't go away. The memory matrix does not go away. It's just that these are an impedance to inhibition that movement wasn't taking place, right? So if you had an ankle sprain and you were treating it, and all of a sudden he wasn't a sprinter, you could put the FX or the PENS parameter or the functional ESTEM parameter over the musculature and actually bring the output up, firing it at an agonist-antagonist process at the microsecond that's most related to that activity, sprinting, running, jumping, throwing. And so there were a number of universities that I had contacted in the early days. Dr. Dawn Gulick at Widener University, she actually did the first jump study where she was able to increase vertical jump from a half inch to almost a full inch after a 6 to 8 week period of using it. We worked with Mac Rubley at UNLV, where we were helping to decrease 40 times by, you know, shaving off a few seconds. And because you're getting a much quicker reciprocal movement, you're actually attracting type 2 muscles, which is part of that first blast off, so to speak. And then as the type 2 starts to grow out, the endurance part kicks in, but everything is functioning and you're changing the actual movement of that pattern by reciprocation. And repetitiveness, right? Which is how we get our athletes back. So PENS was established to be that next phase. And so the Neuro 20 system, which we're talking about today, gives you a lot of different functionalities related to using it in a number of different applications. And because we went over the threshold of being a medical device, we have those indications that Michael was speaking about. If you wanted to use it for a total body functionality where you're getting a fully immersed ESTEM input by increasing the output, so where the whole body becomes recharged and you've got a little bit of nerve intervention, or you have to change the dynamics of that movement and change the inhibition component, and you go, let's say we're following the four pillars of the NASM, you have your inhibition, you have your activation, your lengthening, and then you activate, and then you initiate back to initiation of movement. This suit basically gives you that full capacity to do so.
Yeah, you just said something really important, by the way, which is you now have whole body input, right? And so one of the fields that we're looking at right now is cortical mapping. Because when you put those other devices on, you know, those smaller devices, everybody knows that that's somewhat of a limited, eventually it was a limited intervention. Because the theory behind that is you're only putting in so much electrical stim into the body at that point, right? So you're getting localized recruitment. And like you said, it's not within the natural pattern of what the movement would be. Now that you're getting mimicked patterns and you're getting it from, you know, over 44 different muscles, right? Firing at, in particular patterns, something's going on in the brain. And so we're working with University of Texas Arlington, Cindy Trowbridge, Dr. Trowbridge, who's teaches in the graduate school out there. And we're looking at cortical mapping, you know, and that's the next thing. Like, what is going on? Are we blasting through the sensory cortex, right? The premotor cortex. Are we literally getting into the thalamus and affecting auditing, right? Which is what's stopping an athlete from maybe doing a particular movement post-injury, or moving incorrectly post-injury, right? Are we blasting through that? And so we're looking at that now because something's going on. We're seeing results. So,
well, I think as an athlete or working in the clinical side of it, you know, we're dealing a lot with neuroplasticity a lot of times, where if an athlete has been doing something, yes, it's still trapped in this actual thing. Once, you know, if you sprained your ankle, you still remember how to walk, you know, balance and all of that is still very relevant. But if it was a specific move, or if there was an ability to retrain a little bit quicker using functional movement, then the suit basically encapsulates all of those opportunities. If you're recharging the body, and you're getting increase in blood flow, which is the very first or one of the few indications that we have, you can affect a lot of different things that the body probably had gone through in the course of the injury, right? So you can reduce swelling, increase the blood flow, you're warming the body up. And then after you warm the body up, obviously now you're able to do a couple of other things that may fall in line with exercise, or to get the healing aspect by moving blood through, you know, macrophages and all of the different things relevant to the breeding or whatever the case is. The increase in blood flow is a very relevant part of what we do in the rehab side, is to get.
Yeah, we're doing a blood flow, increased blood flow study at Midwestern University. Dr. Rosenberg out there is doing that in the exercise physiology lab out in Midwestern in Chicago. Again, great opportunity for us to show what the suit does, but there's EMS research out there on whole body stim. But again, I want to be clear, those were over the counter on off, you know, non-contoured electrode on off stim contract release, which is very different. But, you know, you can, there are studies out there that show a 30% increase of dilation at the microcapillary level, right? You know, there are studies by Watanabe and by Kimura that are phenomenal studies that show increased in brain-derived neurotrophic factor anywhere between 18 and 30%. There's a lot going on that happens when you get that kind of stimulation back into the body, especially post-injury. And so, you know, we're seeing good results with proprioception and balance right now. And when recovery times, obviously, you know, decreasing somebody's recovery time is really important for what you guys do. But the other thing is that, you know, a lot of athletes can't move their compensatory muscles post-surgery, right? They're not able to do other kinds of exercise while they're waiting to get that ACL meniscus graft to heal, you know, to a certain point. And so, you know, we're stimulating core and lower paraspinals and shoulders and arms and back and pumping blood flow into that area post-surgery. So, and then we also control every muscle group independently. That's the other thing. We can increase the intensity of one leg and decrease the intensity on the other where there's an increased, you know, where there's an acute injury. But at least be pumping blood flow into there, and you can start, you know, really, it's a tool for you guys to do what you do. That's really all it is.
The way that I've been introducing it to some of my Cactus League guys out here in Arizona, Jeremy, is that, you know, we've been sort of, as modalities come down the pipe or the next fandangle, you know, Gidget or Gadget, a lot of times we get introduced to things that may or may not have some efficacy. And one of the things that we felt was relevant to our particular product is that it changes the dynamics of how the body can be dealt with. It's a fully immersed system. So when you put the suit on and you're able to activate the full body, and you get the full body to understand that there's a certain charge that helps them to, I guess, reawaken the system, change memory matrix, get the central pattern generators moving along, increase ACH, change the dynamics neuroplasticity wise, you know, all of the different chemical responses that go along with it. None of that, what we're doing, is brand spanking new. This is just using the tools that have require 4 2x4 electrodes that you stick on the body. And, or we have to have a certain generator does a certain level of treatment, or there's that new generator that just does one thing. And we just didn't want to be the hammer that has everything as a nail. We have something that's a little bit different. It gives you the full capacity of what you would be using under whatever capacity in an athletic training or therapy department in a wearable. And the fact is that with electrodes over time, I think all of us on this call would understand this. Every time you put a sticky electrode on, over a period of time, it starts to debride the area that it's currently on. So you're picking up dead skin cells, hair, whatever, and it changes how that current is able to translate through that membrane into the body. And so over time, that electrode becomes less and less efficient. Our suit can be washed over 100 plus times. And you apply a couple of different mediums that are maybe able for the facilitation of the current. And I'll let Michael talk about it. This is probably his area of expertise, is that we have a silver foil electrode that's covered by a sponge membrane. And the current doesn't actually affect the center part of the electrode, like most electrodes are. It's encompassed by the actual stitching, what sends the current to the pad. So there's no way that you're going to get a hot spot or a burn spot. And the more that electrode makes interface with the body, the more effective it is. So I'll let Michael jump in here. This is one of the actual reasons why this suit makes a lot of sense.
Well, it's core threading. It's all sent. The electrical signal is sent through the threading into the electrode. So it's not like a wired system, right? There's a we dip it. It's proprietary, so we have to be careful here. But we send it through a core thread, and then we disperse the electrical signal across the entire electrode to get the activation that we need. And there, like he said, it's machine washable. The electrodes are, you know, embedded in the suit. They're not, you know, replace them. And 7 different sizes, so we can fit everybody. We've had offensive linemen, you know, 6'7", 380, in literally that big in the suit. And, you know, we have extra, extra smalls. So, you know, all range of athletes could use it. You know, and when we put the programs in, I want to be clear, we're talking a lot about rehabilitation. So, we, you know, sometimes people use it in the prehab phase and then they use it post-surgical. But we also built in programs for active recovery. So that's another, you know, concern that you guys deal with, which is, hey, I just exhausted my muscle and I need to recover because I have a game coming up tomorrow. And I want my athlete to return to, you know, peak performance. So we have a massage mode built in where we squeeze the muscle, contract it, and then we cavitate for blood flow, and then squeeze and then cavitate, squeeze, then cavitate. And what we're finding is that athletic trainers want to use it post-game for active recovery on their healthy athletes, right? Just to relieve DOMS and facilitate muscle performance, which is one of our indications. So we did build in both sets of programs.
And so you mentioned that they're using it in a cactus league, or you mentioned, you know, 6'7", 380. So then you're obviously looking at like either D1 or NFL type linemen. So that's some of the sports that are using it. And again, I want to focus on the athletic training aspect, because I know also you can use it for Parkinson's, or you can use it for stroke, that type of thing. And that was one of the questions I had, which you answered, is can you use just one side of the body for a stroke victim type of thing? And you already said, yes, you know, you can control each one individually and the intensity and things like that. And so that's something that's really cool as well.
We're working with Parkinsonism, stroke, MS, diabetes, you know, neuropathy and blood flow. Again, I don't think we went through our indications of use. So it's facilitation of muscle performance and strength, motor education. So you think about post TBI, right? In particular, or any injury where they have to re-educate their way of moving, right? We have increased range of motion, increased blood flow, local blood circulation, reduction and prevention of muscle atrophy, reduction and prevention of muscle guarding and spasm. So if you think about these indications of use, am I forgetting any?
You got them all.
Got them all. So, wide range of uses. What we did is we took a shotgun approach to this thing when we designed it, right? Let's catch as much as we possibly can in the EM, in the eSTIM world that's out there. Let's go treat as many injuries or diseases that we can possibly treat that are neuromuscular in condition or neurological in condition. And then from there, let's advance the science from where it was, right? And that's the way that we approached developing this thing. That was DJ's thing, was I need to help as many of my brothers and sisters as possible. And how many people in the world can we help? And so, athletics is one market, but we're very much in the physical rehab world right now, surgery, orthopedic surgical world and neurological world. So there's all those other verticals that are going on at the same time. And then athletics vertical is here, because athletes deal with everything that everybody else deals with and more, just more frequently and more, sometimes more severely or, because of the impact of injuries, right? Impact injuries. But the athletic world has an incentive, economic incentive to get back on the field or court as fast as possible. And so, we're there to help. That's really what we're there for.
All right. So can you talk to the accessibility for the athletic trainer? I'm at a 6A, which is, currently like the largest category in Texas. We have roughly 2,100 students, low socioeconomic status school. So we're not going to be like the DeSotos or, that kind of thing where we have just kids willing to pay all the extra money. And so what is the accessibility for someone like me to get, that for my students? And I know that there's the variants, the 7 different suits you'd have to buy. To talk to the secondary school type athletic trainer about the Neuro 20.
Jeremy, here's where working with Neuro 20 in its current capacity, working in an environment like yourselves, we are not here to break the bank, but we also want to be able to facilitate the use of the product. And then also we have to be conscious of the age group as well. So if you're looking at athletes, especially in a high school environment, we have to be looking at closer to a point where 18 may resonate, especially for precautions and indications relevant to a full body eSTIM product. But the kid, if the kids get closer to that age group, or they're, let's say, a senior in high school, or ready to be able to use this type of a system, we can help with a number of packages where that could be facilitated by cost. And again, we'll customize it for that particular school for this usage. We're currently in the same sort of conversation with a location called IMG Academy. So we are very much aware of where the application and the indications are relevant, especially working in that population. But in the college level and or within the professional sports model, there's really not that many issues that this product would have be dealt with. So we have leasing packages and outright purchases. Well, we basically cater the suit based on the population. If you have a lot of offensive linemen and D-men, you probably need a couple of suits that would facilitate that. And then you may have some college gymnasts that might be in the extra small or the small range, and we can facilitate getting suits to them for that as well. So we've only actually started traipsing into the professional sports market probably less than 8 months ago, mm-hmm. Because like Michael talked about, this was really more in the rehab space. So as time has gone off, it kind of leaked out that we had the ability to use this type of a system for athletics. And it didn't take long for the actual researchers that did the preliminary research on these types of applications to jump on board with us. So probably in the last 3 or 4 months, I'll throw some names out there as far as universities, but University of Virginia with doctors Susan Saliba and Cindy Trowbridge at University of Texas. We have Widener University. We've been working with an Olympic athlete, which we'll be having for on our website or for a little bit of a media thing, who's a velodrome track bike rider that we're going to watch through her course preparing for the Olympics. So we have things in place to help push this down the road, but I hope some of this will, you know, make some places within those environments.
Yeah, we're in pro hockey. We have a few high-end pro NFL athletes. We have a few colleges now also onboarding D1 schools. But like you said, we want to trickle it down to every community eventually and help everyone. But we have to get some age requirements. There are age requirements with this system. There are medical requirements with this system. It's not an over-the-counter product currently. We are working on an over-the-counter version of this product. You know, of a variation of the product, there's safety that would have to be put in place to do that. So this is a very powerful machine and needs to be in the hands of a medical professional such as yourself.
Yeah, it carries about 100 milliamps of peak-to-peak output, which basically is 40 milliamps more than your basic stimulator in a lot of situations. So if you are working with a professional athlete that has massive quads and hams and you're trying to get a full contraction out of it, we need to have that horsepower. And because of the way the electrodes are designed and you're grabbing as much of the muscle fiber as possible, you're going to get a pretty good contraction using the system. So those were some of the guidelines may be relevant.
One of the concerns that I had when we kind of first talked about having this podcast was the, you know, you have to be naked underneath for the most part, right? It's because the electrodes have to touch all over the body. And I was like, I'm not really comfortable. 14-year-old girl, you need to go to the bathroom and get naked and in the suit. And so that's a great, you know, I guess you said there's the 18-ish, 18 plus age requirement thing for safety concerns, for, you know, privacy concerns. And so realistically at this point, it's not geared towards the secondary school that you're dealing with, the junior high to high school athlete, but there are a lot of college pro athletes, you know, moving on from there. And again, it is the medical device. It's not something, because one of the questions I had is,
we had some high school athletes try it with waivers. Absolutely. Where the doctor waived it. Yes. And they're fine. But that being said, that's not who we market to at this point. Because the FDA would say no at that point. You know, they don't want high school athletes in it and making their own decision without parental consent and without, you know, medical consent.
And well, it also goes in hand in hand with the modalities that you currently have in your training room as well, right? There's certain things that you feel are relevant to being able to put on your athlete, and you're following all of the precautions and contraindications related to using that modality. So this basically, as a medical device, we just want to make sure that in conversation, especially on this particular episode, is that it does fall under those circumstances. And so again, in the hands of a trained professional, like Mike mentioned, we're just going to make sure that you have the appropriateness to where it fits in. You may have a high school kid that turned 18 and he's like, you know, getting ready to go to a big school where he wants to prepare himself. And this would be another option for him to be able to use the suit under certain guidelines and maybe, you know, get a little bit a different effect from it. So those are the things that we feel are would translate, especially for the professional that has the ability to use modalities. This is where this will segue into the next level performance and functional movement. Yeah.
So we did hire a human strength and conditioning coach and brought them in onto the team. He was actually with the New York Yankees, won a ring there, was with the Braves. So he's joined our team, and he and Wayne and our director of physical therapy have been sitting down and writing exercise protocols, you know, for their recommendations on how to use the suit. And then we're also going out and getting some really good consultants. We are engaging with Ed Ryan, very famous, you know, athletic trainer. You know, he's the guy, right? And so, you know, between him and we have Pat Carnes, who was with the Avalanche, he won a couple of championships there. We've got Wayne, we've got, you know, Jesus, who is with the Yankees. Like I said, we're starting to build out our team so that we could support the athletic trainer and athletics market. And Wayne has been really good at getting us to start working with NADA. I mean, really, I can't say enough about how he's trying to get us to write correct education so that we can become like a BOC, you know, certified provider. So that way we can provide some eSTEM education here, because when you leap forward the ed, I'm not saying we don't need to educate on Neuro 20, but we should be educating on what whole body pattern STEM can do, right? And the research on eSTEM, there's been a lot of misapplications over the years. There's been a lot of, you know, there's a lot of BS that was around it for many, many years. And there's a good reason culturally why. And again, we didn't take that fast road. We took a long road to develop this thing. We started this thing back in 2015, okay? And we were FDA cleared in 2023, March of 23. So we took a long road and we really stepped in research. And we made sure that what we are saying and what we are doing is based on what scientists and providers are telling us it does, and not just confirmation bias, right? Or other kinds of, you know, conversations about this. And so it took us a long time to do that, to get there, but we think that that long road pays off in the end because providers will know the difference.
Yeah, let me real quick. I want to make sure that we can send you a soup so that by the time NATA rolls around in June, that you'll have a chance to speak to it and use it yourself. So we'll sure that you have
it. Love for you to try it.
We'll just wrap it up there. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/neuro20. And then you can check them out and find out where, maybe you can find out, you can try it on, you can test it out, you could feel it, or you could speak with somebody live and in person. So for Michael Finkelstein, Wayne Smith, Jeremy Jackson, and my student here, Lizette Guerrero, taking down the show notes, that is a wrap. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.